I want to thank the brethren for giving me this opportunity today to speak. And the elders, of course, and also Brian, which allows me this opportunity, especially God, of course. I want to talk today about wrestling with God. Some may wonder what I'm talking about in that, but you know, there was one in the Old Testament who wrestled with God, literally. You may remember this. You may recall Jacob as wrestling with God, and he was wanting favor from God. He was wrestling, of course, with an angel of God. We know no one can actually see God, or he may die. But if you look with me in Genesis 32:28, there it says, "And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." So Jacob wanted the blessing and the favor of God, and that's what he was doing, in which he was wrestling with this angel. He wouldn't let him go until he received that blessing. Well, we see this also talked about in Hosea 12:2-4. There it reads, "The Lord also brings a charge against Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his deeds. He will recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and in his strength he struggled with God. Yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor from him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us." Sorry, I had to fix the mic there. But do you ever struggle with God in your life? Have you had any struggles where you wonder, God, why are you doing this in my life? Am I not striving to do the right thing? Am I not striving to live for you? Here we see Jacob struggled with God in a positive way, but sometimes we struggle with God in a negative sense, don't we? Sometimes we wonder why things are happening, and a lot of times people blame God for those things. Is that really what we should do, though? The fact is that today, there are many who wrestle with God when some problem may come upon them. And they struggle with why this may happen in their life. It's kind of like a power struggle. You know, they're wanting something to happen in their life, some type of success. And they're wondering why all these negative things are happening in their life. They're wondering why all these trials they may be having to confront in their life. It's really a spiritual struggle, isn't it? More so emotionally. But why do we do this sometimes? Why do we struggle with God? You know, I've heard some before who say, you know, why isn't this happening to me? I should be gaining these riches, these things, you know. Why am I not successful in my business? Why don't I have the house like this guy over here? He's entangled in the world, and all these things are in his life, and I'm trying to live for God. I'm trying to do these things that are right. And yet, I struggle sometimes to make ends meet. Have you ever heard that from someone? And so, you know, a lot of people say, if the things I'm doing are righteous, then why is God doing this in my life? Some even begin to blame God to the fact where they become bitter at God. They start to lose focus on their real spiritual and soundness toward the righteous things in their life in which they're supposed to be doing. Do you know anyone like this? You know, I actually spoke with a gentleman not too long ago, and he had become bitter at God. He basically believed that God was the cause of some of the problems in his life. That's a sad thing.
it's sad in that really Satan has already won in his life. He's actually blamed God to the point of he may have even cursed God. We're going to talk about someone like this in a few minutes. We're going to talk about Job and how he wrestled with God with some things. But today I want the focus to mainly be on those who are actually trying to live the right life. And sometimes we have some trials in our life. You know, we can't really go to the point in saying that nothing is ever from God in the fact of affliction and trials, because we see in the Old Testament that God did cause some things to come upon people, right? But a lot of times it was because those people were in the wrong and he needed them to repent. You know, we think of something specifically with the book of Joel and how the locust plague happened there, and those people of Judah, they needed to repent and turn back. But what about the people who are trying to live the right life? They're trying to live for our Lord. Maybe we've heard friends in the past who say, well, you know, if I'm righteous, if I am God's elect, then why is this happening in my life? What was the answer to that? Does God really allow things in our life? Well, God may allow Christians to go through trials, but we must remember that and understand that God never tempts anyone into these things in which some start believing. And we see in Revelation 3:19, it says there, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent." So, if we are out of line, then He must chasten us, right? We see this in Hebrews 12:6-8, talks about chastening of those who God loves, His children, His true children. You know, God, all He really wants is He wants us to obey, right? He wants us to obey Him from the right heart and seek after Him, become zealous in that. We can see many scriptures talk about us being obedient unto the Lord and He'll love us. We can think of John 14:15. 15:14 talks about it. Even 1 John 2:3-4. Talks about the love in which we have. And if we have that love, we're going to obey our Lord. Well, though we should all know that God doesn't tempt anyone at any time, we see in James 1:13 this idea. It says there, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil. Nor does He Himself tempt anyone." So the Bible's clear in that God cannot tempt us. And He doesn't He doesn't tempt anyone by evil. But many still believe that God is to blame for evils in their life when they're striving to live for Him. And that's a tragedy. In just a minute, we're going to talk about Job. We're going to talk about some of those things that happened in his life. And we're going to look at who actually caused most of those things. So why do many fall prey to this deception of Satan? It's obvious, isn't it? Satan wants to deceive us into believing that God's the culprit for all things that are bad in our life, so that we may start being deceived and thinking God is the cause of all problems. And He's done that to so many. He's made them believe this tragedy. If we jump on to 14:15 there in chapter 1, it says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death." Speaking here, of course, of a spiritual death, of being separated from God. We have a little help sometimes in our thoughts, don't we? Satan deceives us into believing things sometimes. And that's what the lesson is kind of geared toward today. Satan only wants us to believe that God is against us so that we may start second-guessing our faith. You know, sometimes when Satan deceives us so much, we can start wondering about our faith, and is our faith really sound? Are we really doing the right things? And isn't that what Satan's all about? He's trying to pull us away from God. And so, we need to make sure, of course, we need to always stay humble, but we need to never waver in our faith. We need to always stay steadfast in that faith, grounded. You know, don't do this to yourself. Don't start second-guessing your faith. Instead, understand that Satan's there tempting us. I want to look here at the first point, and it is temptation is from Satan. And I want us to read here in Job chapter 1, 6 through 12. And I want us to notice a few things here. Let's read there, 6. First I want to look 6 through 8. It says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it.'" Notice here in verse 8 what it says. "And then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil.'" So, I want us to notice that Job had not done anything wrong. He was blameless. He was upright. So, this thought that some believe that the only ones that are tempted and have trials in their life are those who have sinned in some way against God is not true. We see this with Job. He was one who was seeking after God, trying to do the right things. And we see this here. This shows us that even the best of God's faithful servants are sometimes tempted and tried. And so if something's going on in your life today, and you're wondering, why is this happening? Well, probably it's Satan. And we need to understand that in our life. And so that we don't ever look to God and wonder why things, maybe He's causing some things. Next, I want to go on to read there 9 through 12. It says there, "So Satan answered the Lord and he said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him? Around his household and around all that he has on every side. You have blessed the works of his hand, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely," notice this, "he will surely curse you to your face." Notice what Satan's reasoning here was. He said, Job's going to curse you to your face. That's what he was trying to get Job to do. And we need to notice that. And verse 12 goes on to say, "And then the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all the things he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." So notice there that his goal, Satan's goal, was to get Job to curse God to his face. And so I want you to see also, in chapter 2, the same thing is said here in chapter 2, 4 through 6. "So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Skin for skin, yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face.'" Notice that. "He will surely curse you to your face." There again, Satan saying this to God. "And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life.'" So, verse 5, we read again that it seems that Satan's motive here is to get Job to curse God, to turn away from God. And that's what he does in our life as Christians today. It's the same principle. I've seen it done in many people today. As I've said, I talked with someone here recently who has come to the understanding and believes that God is the culprit behind some things in his life, and he's turned from God. So it does happen today in people's lives. I want us to also notice here, not only does Satan want Job to curse God, but also verse 9, it even says there that his wife, remember his wife there, says, curse God and die. So his wife's even provoking Job to do this. And so, you know, we need to think about these things when we may have problems in our life and make sure we never look to God for evil. But know that Satan's deceiving some of us. He's trying to cause trials in our life. And we know that God allows testing. And, you know, he tests our faith at times. But we should never blame God for any of that. I want us to notice, too, in verse 6 there, that God even allowed Satan to harm him. But there were limitations that Satan could do, right? You see, God puts limitations on Satan. And we see this shown also in the New Testament, the same principle. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And so, God doesn't ever say that he's going to keep us from temptation. He never says that he's going to keep us from harm. What he does say is he says that he won't let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. Think about that for a second. You may have had temptations in your life where you wonder, you know, why you were tempted in this way or what was happening in this situation. But wasn't there always an avenue of escape? Didn't he always allow you a way to get away from that temptation? I think of someone, when I think of temptations, I think of Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Y'all remember this story? There in Genesis 39 and 7. He says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me. If you remember Joseph's master named Potiphar, he had been real good to Joseph. And all of a sudden his wife wants to commit a sexual sin with Joseph. And he didn't want to do anything like that. Number one, and most foremost, he would be sinning against God, right? But also, this guy Potiphar had done some good things for Joseph, and he would be going against him as well. So, you know, the main thing is, Joseph didn't fall into this temptation. And so, you know, he had a way of escape. We see that in verse 11 through 13 there. It says, but it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do this work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand, and he fled and ran outside. And so it was that when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, we know that Joseph was able to escape this temptation, just like we can when we're tempted in this life. You know, we know that Joseph later was put into prison. But one thing he didn't do is he didn't sin against God. And that's key. A lot of times we have temptations, and the goal should be not to sin against God. Joseph did this. We know later, actually, the prison brought about good. So God's always working, isn't he? Behind the scenes. You may think that something in your life is totally, you know, I guess I should say, something you
can't figure out why it's happening to you.
You know, it may be something that's really turned your life around.
It's made you think about things you would never think about in your life. And you're wondering why it's happening in your life. Well, know that God's always in control, no matter what's going on in your life. And that's the key that we have to think about as Christians. The question becomes, what avenue do we choose when it comes to temptation? Do we choose the right path to escape the temptation? Or do we fall prey to it? Fall into it?
No one's exempt from temptation, though. We know that because Jesus Christ was tempted, was he not? Y'all remember in Matthew 4, 1 through 11, that Jesus had been tempted 40 days and 40 nights. Fasting 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And then he came and Satan tried to tempt him again. In his weakest point, he tried to tempt him. What happened, though? Jesus stood firm in that. He said, for it is written, there in verse 4. Also 7 and 10 talks about, it is written. And so, you know, there may be times in our life where we have to turn to the Bible and look at what's written
and make the right decision, just like Christ did. You know, in Luke, we also see he was tempted there. Jesus had to deal with the cross. Remember that?
That was hard for him to deal with in the flesh. He was robed in the flesh. And he knew he had to go to the cross for each one of us. He says there, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.
You see, Satan always tempts us with things. Right now, in this situation, Christ was coming to the cross. He knew what he had to do, but it was hard for him. He knew what he was going to have to endure. He had to endure the cross. He said, Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, yours be done. And isn't that what always happens? It's not our will that needs to be done, but sometimes God's will is being done, and we don't even see it.
Sometimes God gives us trials in our life to help us to endure, to help us to become stronger in our faith, right? We may not even see a trial as a blessing, but really, sometimes they are. They're a blessing in which we grow unto perfection in Christ.
And so, remember, we're to walk by faith, not by sight.
In this life, we're going to have to endure some things in our life. And we're going to wonder, what's going on? But know this, that if you'll walk by faith,
and not the sight, the things that we can see around, but know that God is in control, walking by faith,
then nothing here can ever move us from our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's powerful. No matter what is going on in your life, God's there. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. What about Paul? Well, also, think about in Hebrews 4:15. Remember,
you know, remember that our high priest, Christ, he's there. He's been through it all, hasn't he? He can sympathize with us.
Because he's done, he's endured everything that we'll ever face in this life. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So we know that Christ is there. We need to go to the Father using the avenue of Christ in prayer when we're in sin, when we're in trial, when we're in tribulation. And know that he's there, and he's there for us. He knows what we're going through. And so we need to turn to him. Also, Paul, as I was about to say earlier,
we can think about him. Remember in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9, Remember here, Paul is suffering with an affliction. It says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times, that it might depart from me." Notice verse 9. "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient.'" This is Jesus speaking. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You see, when we're at our lowest point, when we're in weakness, Christ's strength perfects us. We're made strong when we're at our lowest points. That's a blessing that we have. It's during those toughest times that our Lord perfects us. He grows us in our faith. You know, there was someone once told me, after they had had this big ordeal in their life, a big trial, and they had come through it, a gentleman said to them, "You know, I heard about all that had happened, and you know, my prayers are with you." And they said, "If only I can remember all the things I've learned through this time." Isn't that what we need to do? When we're in times being tempted and tried, remember those things in which we're gained. Remember those things in which we've been suffering from. And know that through whatever it may be, in Christ, we're always made strong. And we can always overcome. Anything comes upon us, we can always overcome. And that's something that is a great benefit to Christians. In James 1, 2 through 4, we're to count it all joy when we have to suffer temptation, various trials. It says there, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So we must come to a knowledge that through those trials, we gain great benefit. We gain a closer strength, a closer perfectness, I should say, to Christ. And that's key in our lives as Christians. Because we're always supposed to be growing toward Christ, right? And so we should think about this in our lives. Our last point I want to look at, I'm going to leave you on a positive note. God does bless the righteous. God does bless the righteous. Some of those say, "Well, you know, why am I going through all these problems? Why am I going through all this pain?" Well, just know that if you'll endure those hardships, one day you're going to be blessed. It may not be here on this earth, but one day you are going to be blessed. And that's what we're going to look at here. In James 1:12 it says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptations, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Those who love him. Been approved. Those who have stood the test. Those who have endured in time of hardship. Will you endure until the end? Whatever we're going through, don't get discouraged. Know that God's there. Verses 16 through 18 says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of life, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." Every good and perfect gift is from the Father of life. Isn't that a blessing? Those trials and all those temptations, those are not good gifts. So therefore, they're not from the Father, right? We need to make a distinction. All the good things today are from the Father. Also, Matthew 7:11 says, if you, then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to you, to those who ask Him? Our Father, you know, there's some fathers here, mothers. You know how to give good gifts to your children. Think about how much more our Lord God in heaven can give us good gifts. And He will. He will, but we must endure. God knows how to bless His children, but we have to endure.
It may not be treasures here upon earth, though, right?
We're not promised treasures here upon this earth. But our treasure should be in heaven. That's where our hearts should be, right? Matthew 6:21. I want to go back to Job and just for a second. You know, Job, he lost a lot, didn't he, at the beginning? It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. Job was blessed, wasn't he? He had a lot. And all this was taken away in one day by Satan. Think about how Job felt. He must have been distraught, right? Well, actually, Satan was trying to sway him. He was trying to cause Job to turn away from God. Remember that faithful servant. He was trying to make him to fall away from God. Try to even curse God. That's what Satan's goal was, we looked at earlier. What happened? What did Job do in the beginning? 20 through 22 says, when Job arose, he tore his clothes, he shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord has gave, the Lord has taken away. What's he say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. When trials come upon us, how do we react? Do we bless God in trials and tribulation, just as we do in good things? Job did. Job blessed God even when there was all this thing, all these problems that came upon him. By enduring, though, Job 42:10 says, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Job was blessed. He had doubled what he had before because of his faithfulness, because he stood firm and would not go against what God had done, or everybody was telling him that God had done. Really sacred. Sometimes in this life, we may have a door shut, but other doors will open. We may think problems are really coming upon us, and we don't know what to do. You know, things are so hard at times. But God won't tempt us more than what we can bear. And we need to always look to God and bless God, even in those times of hardship. That's what we should learn out of this.
Romans 2:4 says, or do you despise the riches of His goodness, the forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?
We should be moved by God, His goodness, and want to serve Him. He gives us all the good things in our life.
All of them are from God. Never forget that. What about Paul? Remember? He said, finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Isn't that a blessing? Paul's already went on. But there are us here today. We still have the same promised us, a crown of righteousness. The way we can get to this, though, is by enduring. Enduring those trials, enduring those hardships in our life, and always blessing the Lord in whatever comes about. Revelation 2:10. Isn't this a principle for all Christians? Think about this as I read it. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Isn't that a great blessing? Isn't that a joy? What Christ can give to us in the last day? 1 Thessalonians 4:16, when that trumpet sounds on that last day, and we go to meet Him in the air. What a blessing. But you have to endure. You can't fall away. You can't go backward. You have to continue to press on toward the upward call. That's what we have to do as Christians. In conclusion, do you wrestle with God from time to time? I know we all have probably wrestled with God sometime in my life. Are you willing to give yourself wholeheartedly over to God? Truly lean on Him. You know, James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. We have to resist the devil, though, don't we? Don't give in to those temptations. Don't give in to those times when he's trying to turn you away from your Lord. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Ask yourself today, where or what is your trust in today? Is your trust in God this very day? Are you seeking zealously with a fire burning inside of you to do the right thing in your life? No matter what hindrance is in your way, are you ready to do whatever the Lord asks? Maybe there's some here today who have not thought about giving their life over to Christ, or they're waiting for a perfect day in which that will happen. We ask that you would come forward this day. We're not given tomorrow. Our life is but a vapor. It appears for a short time. Won't you come forward today? Won't you change things in your life? Whatever it may be that's a hindrance in your life today. If you need prayers from the brethren here today, you can come forward. If you need to get baptized for remission of your sins, Acts 2:38, have you confessed Christ in your life? Won't you come as we stand and sing the invitation song to